From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel, and we're producing much of the program this week in New Orleans. That's where I am right now, with a room full of New Orleanians. Imagine this for a moment. Imagine that a natural disaster strikes your neighborhood. You leave your home and head for safety out of town. For months, you live here and there, depending on the kindness and the competence of your government, your insurance company, your family, and your friends. 6 months go by. Maybe you move back in, maybe you live in a trailer, maybe you're still living out of town, but the landmarks of your neighborhood, supermarkets, gas stations, the hospital, the schools, the churches, are still shuttered.
It's so good to be back. I have to mess with somebody. I have to. It's good.
The people who have joined us here for a kind of town meeting don't have to imagine any of this because this is what their lives have been like for the past 6 months. They are residents of a quiet road of private homes and duplexes in New Orleans East. It's called Honeysuckle Lane, and we have been following their fortunes and misfortunes on All Things Considered since September. We're at the Dong Phuong Bakery in New Orleans East. It's a Vietnamese bakery. It's one of the first and still very few businesses to reopen in this part of New Orleans. And let's meet the people whom we're going to hear from in this part of the program. First, Bob Zeller.
I'm Bob Zeller. I live at 40 Honeysuckle Lane in New Orleans East. For a while, we were put up in the Doubletree Hotel, and now we're at the multi-trailer site at my place of business at New Orleans International Airport.
My name is John Brown. I live at 26 Honeysuckle Lane. I'm living in a little city in Louisiana called Angie, Louisiana.
I'm Cynthia Townsend. I live at 27 Honeysuckle Lane, and I've been staying in Dallas, Texas ever since.
My name is Lionel Basnick, and I live at 35 Honeysuckle Lane. Been there for about 12 years. We evacuated to Houston, Texas. Right now we're running a house near the university in New Orleans until we can get our house back the way we need to get it.
And your wife, Jacinta Basnack.
Jacinta Basnack, 35 Honeysuckle Lane.
Joanne Arnold at 45 Honeysuckle Lane. We're back in a FEMA trailer on our lot.
So you're not exactly in your home, but
no,
you're at your home.
We're at our home.
And Mr. Arnold.
Yes, Eric Arnold, 45 Honeysuckle. I didn't get no water in the house at all. I got water damage from the roof, because the roof had leaked.
I'm Joy McKinley from 48 Honeysuckle Lane. I experienced mold and about 2 feet of water, and my house is gutted now about 4 feet.
Now, Gay Hewitt, you're an honorary member of Honeysuckle Lane. Your address is actually on Curran, but it backs
on. Yes, I'm on the corner of Curran and Honeysuckle. We stayed in Houston for 6 months until we just recently moved back to the naval base across the river in Algiers, and that's where we are in the hotel.
If we had all been talking right after Katrina, let's say, and you had imagined where we would be come Mardi Gras, Bob Zeller, would you assume things would be as up in the air as they are right now? Would you assume things would have settled out by now?
Yeah, with the vastness of the devastation, I don't think there's building material or skilled craftsmen that could restore this whole city within the next 5 years. So I didn't expect much change, and I don't expect much change.
Eric Arnold, are you surprised?
Yes, I feel more optimistic about it. I mean, if you're off and running, doing it yourself, you're going to get it done. If you're sitting waiting on the government, you see what everybody's here being fematized as is. And, I mean, if you sit on the fence, you're not going to get anything done.
Fematized is now a New Orleans
exactly
verb at
right,
this point. What does
right
fematized mean?
I mean,
to you
just got it from all branches of the government.
Joanne?
Fematized to me is this feeling that you get that, okay, am I going to be put out? You know, where do I go? It's really disheartening because I was a New Orleans public school teacher, and they just stabbed us in the back.
You were all fired.
We were all fired.
Laid off.
Laid off, fired, no pink slips. I heard that we were going to get one. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, I've spent 15 years of my life, you know, being a teacher, doing something that I love, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm no longer that, and I didn't have any backup. It's just been horrible, you know, to say that you've given up 15 years of your life and then just stabbed in the back.
And nowadays it's very commonly said that when New Orleans comes back to life, its school system should somehow be radically different and in no way resemble what it was before, that everything should be charter schools and newly organized.
I think that they have to definitely come back with public schools. I don't think everything should be chartered schools.
Let me move on to another question that seems to have, well, all of you have had to deal with. not just public authorities, but the insurance industry. Lionel Bazinak, your encounter with the world of insurance.
To date, we haven't received a penny from our flood insurance policy yet. Justin came maybe 6 weeks after the storm. He did his process or whatever, and we're still waiting for the money. I'm out of pocket right now repairing my home. The money's on its way, but, I mean, I don't know what the problem is.
Are there any success stories with insurance? Yes, Cynthia Townsend?
I waited for my insurance. I had to call Almighty from upstairs. And once the insurance commissioner got involved, got my checks FedEx to me, I have all my money.
I'd like to hear from all of you how you address the big overarching question, which is you can see your house, you can figure out how much repair it needs now, what has to be done to it, but then it's part of a neighborhood, it's part of the city, which presumably should have commerce and services and schools and police protection. Do you see it coming back? Are you confident that your part of New Orleans East, Mr. Bazinak, is going to be there and it's going to be alive again?
Yes, I'm optimistic about it. Especially being close to the lake area, it seemed like that area is starting to come back because there was minimal damage on that side.
We're just talking a couple of streets away from you. You drive away from the lake and you see strip malls, and every storefront is gutted and closed, except for, I think, the Eastover Market is open in one of them. Otherwise, there's nothing there.
Yeah, it's depressing.
But you're hopeful about it.
Yes.
John Brown, do you think you're coming back? Are you confident in New Orleans East?
I'm confident in New Orleans, but as the way things look, I don't think I'm coming back because my father, he was a minister, and he said that New Orleans would go underwater, and he wanted to prepare us a place to live. Dad built this house, and I didn't have any idea it would come to pass, but it did come to pass, and now I'm living in the house, and it was a blessing.
I can understand your point, what your father said about the flooding and all. But where are you going to go? You're going to have earthquake,
fire,
you name it, you're going to have it. So where are you going to run to? That's what I don't understand. And, you know, when we first got to San Antonio, the people just kept saying, well, come live in Texas.
Yeah. They just couldn't understand why we would want to go back to New Orleans. And I kept saying, well, it's my home. It's where I want to go. It's where I belong. It's where, you know, it's where what I know. And I said, anywhere in the world, there's always some kind of a natural disaster that happens. And people deal with it, and they cope with it. So we're going to deal with it, we're going to cope with it, we're going to go back home.
Because if you actually think about it, it wasn't Katrina that done the damage. It was the breaching of
those levees.
Those locks.
Yeah.
Nobody had done anything.
So you're saying this was an unnatural disaster.
Exactly. And if people fail to realize this, but who's at fault is the government. Because we paying money to the government to protect us, and they're not doing it.
What do you say to people from other parts of the country who may indeed live in Tornado Alley or in Florida in the path of hurricanes, but they say, look, you live in an area that was wetlands until 20 years ago, and you're asking for it. I mean, Cynthia.
For years, we have always had printed in a newspaper to prepare for hurricanes, do your preparation. So now it's not just to prepare for the hurricane, but now we need to prepare for a disaster. If we're going to live here in New Orleans, we have to prepare ourselves.
One of your neighbors, Judy Tallman, who can't be with us because she's with her kids in Las Vegas this week, she told us, she used the phrase, if we've got to homestead in our own neighborhood, we'll do that.
Exactly.
That's where we're back.
Bottom line.
We always said even if our home was flooded, we were definitely going to come back and rebuild. And we're here.
New Orleans is where I want to be.
Right.
Are you from New Orleans?
Right.
Yes, right.
Gay Hewitt?
My husband and I bought our house 16 years ago. We were fresh out the police academy, and we were looking for some place to raise our kids. And when we found that neighborhood, all the houses that are there now were not there. It was a big wooded area right behind us. And Bob was the man that was always jogging down the street. And my kids always said, oh, the man jogging down the street just passed. And that's how we grew up. Our kids grew up with Bob's daughters. And my kids, when they said that the area was flooded, the first thing they said, we have to go back. And I'm so proud of them that they want to be here and help rebuild and make it stronger. that makes my decision to stay even much stronger. And the fact that our neighborhood is so closely knit together. I mean, if our kids do something wrong, the neighbors have permission to just chastise if you have to. But it's a family area. It's not something that you just go to work, you come home, and you lock your door. If something happens to someone, everyone's there, and we all stick together. And I think that's the best part of Honeysuckle Lane. That's what makes it home.
Bob Zeller, when you're jogging by, you're keeping an eye on everybody. And you're going to report them if they do anything wrong?
The neighborhood, it's secluded. It's two cul-de-sacs off the main drag. There's no walk-through. So, and the neighbors, like both Eric and said, the neighbors kind of look out for each other. And in the last 20 to 22 years I've been there, there hasn't been much crime at all back there.
There hasn't been much crime
at all.
In the 22 years you've been there. What about the past 6 months?
Well, I've been burglarized, looted, or like 21K'd, like the police department says, three or four times. And it's the last time they kicked my back door and stole my towels.
I've been vandalized. My son has a car in our backyard under the carport. Someone broke the glass in. They threw house paint on the car, stole all the radios out. My daughters and I were cleaning out the home one day, and someone was across the street using a hammer on the back of the neighbor's car, and we had to go over and assess that situation. But it seems to have calmed down now since the houses are empty, but we still keep an eye out.
Until Katrina, there was, not too far away from your street, a big hospital, Methodist Hospital. It doesn't seem to be coming back. That not only costs jobs, but it leaves you without a nearby emergency room. Are there doctors? Are there dentists around? Are there people whom you can go have needs taken care of?
Believe it or not, say like in San Antonio, they say everything is 30 minutes away. I mean, you can get on the interstate 15, 20 minutes. You have Charity Hospital, any hospital in the city. Charity is not open right now, but I mean, Tulane or one of them. So you're basically looking at the same thing. But if you sit there and say to yourself, well, there's no medical facility, you know, if you continue with the negative, you're not going to get anything. If you want to get to the hospital, you got transportation, you get there in 15, 20 minutes on the interstate.
There is a clinic. Methodist does have a clinic by the hospital in the parking lot that you can go to. I'm not sure what the hours are, but there is something there for the people in the area in case you have an incident that they can treat. Now, if it's an emergency, you would have to go to Touro or Tulane. But there's a little trailer or a mobile home, whatever you want to call it, that's out there.
Gay Hewitt, thank you. We're talking with a group of New Orleanians who live on Honeysuckle Lane, a street in New Orleans East that we've been following on All Things Considered for months. And when we come back, I want to ask you if you can share with us some lessons that you might have for people who haven't lived through something like Katrina and what you've learned about what happens when our lives are in distress. We'll talk about that when All Things Considered continues.